Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for Sunday, September 13, 2020. This week's sermon is titled Reconciliation 101 by Kerry Yeck.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our online services at New Hope Christian Church. We're glad that you have joined us in this way this weekend. It's impossible to miss the television coverage devoted to the riots in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York City, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Rochester, New York, and on that we have witnessed over the past few weeks. Unfortunately, most of the major news outlets want us to believe that all of America is engulfed in the same unrest being played out in our major cities, and that this unrest is due to systemic racism. Regardless of our respective ethnicity and regardless of who we think is right or wrong, there's obviously some kind of problem going on here, and Christians need to demonstrate a biblical response to it. That biblical response can neither include either extreme of pretending that racism doesn't exist at all, or thinking that joining in riots somehow solves the problem. You know, here's an undeniable fact. Hatred and hostility are nothing new. They existed long before George Floyd's death in May of this year. Mayhem and murder have always been with us. They are found in every nation, every ethnicity of people. Matter of fact, we were introduced to this type of behavior a long time ago in the very first set of siblings to ever exist. Why did Cain attack and kill his brother Abel? Scripture tells us it was for no other reason than Cain was jealous. God looked with favor upon Abel's obedience, and God looked with disfavor upon Cain's disobedience. While this topic of racial reconciliation is a polarizing issue, and while it's important for the church to address the issue, we can do so if we have honest and reasonable dialogue based on facts and not emotional responses based on feelings. There is a solution, but that solution is spiritual in nature. And because it is, most of the world is not going to hear it or implement it. Whether anyone will listen or anyone will follow, God's people must clearly articulate the way to our wandering and lost world, as well as show the world the way to racial reconciliation by our own actions. I'm going to remove all the mystery here by sharing with you my conclusion in the introduction. So here it is. Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, is sufficient to break down the man-made barriers of hatred, mistrust, and anger that have plagued every ethnic background at every stage of human history. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the second chapter of Ephesians. We're actually going to look at various parts of this, so keep it close and keep it open. Let's just go right to the very beginning here so that we can understand the problem that we are dealing with. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, "Once you," now that includes you and me and all of us, "once all of us were dead because of our disobedience and our many sins." There was a time when in our lives when we didn't see ourselves as doing anything wrong. To be sure, we could see what other people were doing wrong, but our sins blinded us to seeing the truth about ourselves. And during that part of our lives, Man, we were incapable of understanding anything spiritual. Verse 2 reads, "You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." David said as much in Psalm chapter 2 when he describes this rage against God. In case you somehow missed it, there is an all-out rebellion against God taking place in our country, and it's being fueled by Satan. Yes, he exists. We see the evidence of Satan's existence in the way he influences people to be mean, irrational, hateful, callous in the things they do to other people. Verse 3 of Ephesians 2 reads, "All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else." Guilty. We all were guilty. Now, maybe you were blessed with godly parents who taught you right from wrong. That's the way God designed for people to pass his truths from one generation to the next. But even infants and toddlers can be selfish and downright mean when they want something. I don't care how many of us thinks we were nice before committing our lives to following Jesus. At that stage of our lives, we were primarily concerned about satisfying and pleasing ourselves. You and I don't deserve anything from God except his wrath and his punishment. Before we can understand the magnitude of the reconciliation God has made possible for us, we must first understand the magnitude of the problem itself. Dr. Vadi Bakum grew up in Los Angeles to a single teenage Buddhist mother. He didn't find the Lord and commit his life to Jesus until he was in college. And from that moment on, he went on to earn 2 bachelor's degrees, as well as a master's and a doctorate degree. Vadi Bakum is a biblical scholar. He's also black. And Bakum says the problem of racism is spiritual in nature. Even though we're bombarded with the narrative that racism is systemic in nature, Bakum points out that sin resides in the heart of every individual, regardless of their ethnicity. I quote him at this point. He says, "Race is not a real classification. There is only one race. We are all basically the same genetically, otherwise we could not reproduce. There is only one race of people, but several ethnicities of people." Hatred between people is not genetic. It's not systemic. It's not economic. It's spiritual. And Paul said in verse 3 of chapter 2, our sins emanate from our sinful nature. God said the same thing through the prophet Jeremiah. The human heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. It is beyond cure. The Hutus and the Tutsis of Rwanda are of the same color. They are genetically the same. So why have they killed hundreds of thousands of members from each other's tribes over the years? It's because hatred and hostility are not determined by the color of our skin, where we are born, or our economic status. Hatred and hostility come from our evil nature that exists within all of us. Now, before we move on, it's important to note what Paul says in verse 12. When you were living apart from Christ, You lived in this world without God and without hope. Man, racism is bad news. Slavery is bad news. Poverty is bad news. Murder is bad news. But there is absolutely nothing worse in this world or the next than living without God and living without hope. I've said this many times, but it bears repeating over and over again. The heart of every human problem is the problem of the human heart. The only way any problem can be solved, including racism, is when people receive a new heart. So let's identify the solution. And the first way we're going to do that is by identifying what the solution is not. Marriage can be tough at times. Let me say that again. Marriage is good, but it can be tough. A man and a woman enter into a marriage with different expectations, different personalities, different life experiences, different goals, and more. I got to tell you, it's been a hard lesson for me to learn over the years. And I can't say I've honestly totally arrived, but I do understand today it does a relationship absolutely no good when one or both individuals focus on the differences between them. My relationship with my wife never improves when I run through my own mind or even think I need to verbally point out to her how different we are. You know, honey, you're this kind of personality and I'm the polar opposite. You have this philosophy when it comes toward money and I have this philosophy. You have this view of people and I have this view of people. And as much as we'd like to think it helps us to understand each other better, if we know our differences, we usually find ways to disagree even on what our differences are. This article appeared in a newspaper several years ago, and I'm just quoting or reading from it. The Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota school districts have made diversity education a top priority for decades at a great financial cost. Nevertheless, the Minneapolis school district announced that embedded racism continues to permeate its schools. While a study by the People for the American Way found that race relations and tolerance in St. Paul high schools is crumbling. Did you hear that? In spite of decades of trying to teach young people to appreciate their differences and how they should get along, in spite of who knows how much money has been spent on that effort, no noticeable progress had been made on improving tolerance between different ethnic groups within the schools. That's because, number one, the problem is a spiritual one. And we certainly wouldn't want to teach a biblical solution in the public school, right? Number two, focusing on differences only exasperates our divisions. Shoot, we see that even in the church. Every time over the centuries that God's church has focused on its differences, it seems to have resulted in another division. I mean, it's amazing how many times people can agree on many, many areas of faith and doctrine and theology, but boy, the moment they find some little difference from what others believe, they leave to find another body of believers with which to fellowship and worship or even start their own. That's precisely why programs on diversity training usually backfire in their attempt to create respect amongst ethnic groups. Why? Sometimes in the process of trying to understand one another, we end up blaming one another. We're resenting one another. John Piper says in a sermon entitled Racial Reconciliation, and I'm quoting him here, "Finding your main identity in whiteness or blackness or any other ethnic color or trait is similar to boasting that you carry a candle to light a cloudless noonday sky." Candles are important, but not to light the day. So color and ethnicity have their place, but not as the main glory and wonder of our identity as human beings. So if diversity training and understanding our differences isn't the solution, what is? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Athenians. Now, understand, this was a culture in which the people considered themselves to be very intellectual, way above the common people around them, much like progressives of our day. And Paul says, in the midst of those people, God made from one person every nation of people to live on the whole earth. And God determined when they should live and where they should live. Paul did not say that humans evolved over billions of years from amoeba and apes. God made all human beings from one person, Adam. Paul chose his words here very carefully. The word translated nation actually means every ethnic group. We all bear the image of the God who created us. Regardless of our skin color, our facial features, our height, our weight, we all have an immortal soul fashioned in the divine image of God. We all possess a mind with unique God-like reasoning powers. We all have a heart that can make moral decisions and enjoy spiritual relationships, including a relationship with God. Every human being, whatever our color, our shape, our age, our gender, our intelligence, our health, our social status, shares in the wonder and the glory of being made in the image of God. All of us. Consequently, we all matter to God. We all have value before God. We all have worth in God's eyes. Furthermore, God has given us principles and commands for living that we who are made in His image must obey. Treating people unfairly or showing partiality to some over others because it benefits us to do so is wrong. Getting angry with others, Jesus said, is a prelude to murder, and it's wrong. Stealing from others is wrong. Building people up and encouraging them with our tongue is right. Using our tongue to tear people down is wrong. When we live as God has commanded us to live, we enjoy our relationships with people. We enjoy life as we were created to. But we don't all obey God's commands like we should, do we? There's something else we all have in common. The Bible says we've all disobeyed God. We've all sinned. Therefore, we are all in need of a Savior to satisfy and bear the penalty of our sins. Paul shares with us some great news in verses 4 through 10 of Ephesians 2. He says, God's love for us is so overwhelming. He's willing to forgive us. He'll love on us when we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. When we have God as our Father and Jesus as our brother, we automatically become a part of a family in which everyone else has the same Father and the same brother. And in this heavenly family, we no longer look at each other through worldly eyes. We now see each other through the eyes of God. We no longer see each other as Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, white or black, but as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. At one time, Paul says, we were living without hope. At one time, we were living without God. But now look what he says in verse 13. He makes a transition. That's the way we were, but now. But now, Christ Jesus has brought us near, or God has brought us near, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 18 tells us, through God the Son, we all have access to God the Father by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 tells us that Jesus Christ has destroyed the dividing walls of hostility that we people often erect between ourselves. As Dr. Bauckham has said, quote, racial reconciliation is not something we have to achieve. It is something we have to believe. We are one in Christ. We all have the same origins. We have all ventured out on our own and sinned against our Heavenly Father. We are all in need of a Savior. And when anyone comes to Jesus Christ and commits their life to Him, he or she, the Bible says, is a new creation. In Christ, we don't think and act the way we once did. We've become a part of this new family, the family of God. We're one in Christ, and that relationship with Christ transcends any and every ethnicity we have. How many of us have discovered that oftentimes the spiritual relationships we share with fellow believers are stronger than the ones we have with our own blood family members? The Fiji Islands are located in the South Pacific Ocean, about 1,100 miles northeast of New Zealand. For the longest time, they were known as the Cannibal Isles, because those inhabiting the islands were known to regularly feed on human flesh. Today, the Fiji Islands are one of the most advanced and developed nations in the South Pacific. Many, many years ago, when a young entrepreneur saw the opportunity to get in on the ground floor in developing these islands economically, he went to visit them. And when he was talking to a chief of one of the tribes, he noticed a Bible in the chief's home. Assuming it was there as a result of the influence from Christian missionaries, the foreigner remarked to the chief, what a shame. What a shame that you once were influenced by the foolish nonsense of missionaries. Surprised by the remark, the chief replied, "You see that large white stone over there? A few years ago, we used that stone to smash the heads of our victims. See that large oven? A few years ago, we used that oven to bake the bodies of our victims before we feasted on them." And the chief leaned in close to his visitor and he said, "Had we not listened to what you called the nonsense of missionaries, your head would have been smashed on that rock and your body would be baking in the oven." I'm just saying, we don't need classes to learn how we are different from each other, how we can get along, and neither do we need constant reminding that there are differences between us. For us to get right, we simply need to walk in the reality Christ has already achieved for us on the cross. We all have a place and a purpose in God's family. Christ makes us one, and in doing so, brings peace. He's broken down the dividing walls between us. Which leads then to the last point, and that is we need to own our responsibility. How many of you know that with every privilege in life, there is a corresponding responsibility. God told Abram, and God tells us, I will bless you. That's a privilege. But why will God bless us? Well, here's the responsibility. So that you will be a blessing to others. And the first thing I need to do is to own my attitude. I have a tendency to say what I think and then later think about what I've said. I have a habit of forming my opinions about people by first evaluating them through my stereotypes. And one of the things I'm learning, especially in the last few months, is to own my attitude. There's a reason God inspired James to write, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." Because if we are quick to listen and slow to speak, we'll also be slower in getting angry. We all need to build bridges with individual people different from ourselves. Why? Because we're all valuable. We're all of worth. We're all made in the image of God. Every one of us has a story, and every story deserves to be heard. Bridges are built by listening to people's story. What I'm opposed to is forcing anyone to listen to teaching that says all white people are privileged and racist, or all black people are angry, or all males and all females think the same way, or all French people act the same way, etc. We all have different stories. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different ethnicities. I need to look in the mirror and ask myself, Kerry, are you really looking at people through the eyes of God? Or do I still stereotype people, mistrust people, fear people, and more? I think it's a process. It takes a length of time, but it's a process we all need to be engaged in. And the second thing I need to do, besides owning my attitude and changing it, is owning my mission. When Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations, he used that same word Paul did in our text. He was telling us that every ethnic group and every individual deserves to personally know him. Even as every person in every ethnic group has value, because we're all made in the image of God, so every person in every ethnic group deserves to be forgiven and redeemed by God. And like it or not, that is the task that has been given to us. This past Friday, we solemnly remembered that 19 years ago, foreign terrorists took the lives of over 3,000 people on American soil. I suspect the terrorists maybe thought the United States was too weak to retaliate, that their actions would divide us. But they were wrong. Democrats and Republicans prayed together in Congress. People all across this country, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of where they lived, regardless of their social status or any other differences, came together as Americans and responded accordingly. Only Jesus Christ is sufficient to create within people of all ethnicities a heart that beats as one. A heart that sees one another not through our differences, but through who we are in Christ Jesus. So, if we would see racial reconciliation, we got to get busy. As people who know the Lord, making disciples for the Lord. And if we are, we've got to ask ourselves, do those disciples all share our ethnicity? Do they all look the same as we do? You see, when we're all gathered in heaven, and God has called us from every tribe and every nation of people, we will not be looking at each other through eyes and minds focused on our differences. We will see each other as God's children, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I say to you now that we can all begin by praying that God's will be done in my life and here on earth, even as it's already done in heaven. Let's pray. Our God, nobody needs to tell you about the unrest that is taking place. Nobody needs to tell you about the rebellion that is taking place. It's obviously, it has been around since the beginning of time. God, we thank you that in Jesus Christ there is a solution. We can't understand the changes, but we do believe, God, in the miracle of a changed heart and a changed life. And we, many of us, have been blessed by that miracle, that transformation in our own lives that helps us to see people differently, to interact with people differently because of who we are in Jesus. And God, we come before you in prayer knowing that you are the one who places the desire in people to do that which is right. So God, move among us throughout this country. Help us to see that no matter how angry or hateful we may be toward one another, God, help us to see that we need something more, and that something is you. Draw us unto yourselves. Use your people to be that catalyst which gets these conversations in motion. And Lord God, we pray that indeed you would use us to bring about your kingdom so that it looks here on earth even as it already looks in heaven. To that end, we commit ourselves and pray these things in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us here. And remember that as you go forth to be the church, wherever God calls you to do life, God bless.